doesn't thank you for the whole journey that he's been on, but he thanks you that you were in the boat with him through that journey.
Thank you.
And so, Lord, we thank you that his journey can bless us. His journey can encourage us, Lord. Yeah. And we just speak a blessing upon this message this morning, that you would take his message and make it real, make it life-giving to us by your anointing as you breathe life on it.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Brew.
Thanks, Jamesy. Morning, everybody. Can you give me a little bit more bass? I sound a bit feminine. It's the worst thing any man really likes to do is sound feminine. I was singing so hard this morning that I need water. You probably all, we should have a 5-minute water break maybe, eh? All right, good morning, everybody. Good to be here with you. Well, I'm here every Sunday anyway, but nice to be able to share the word with you. And Dave, you did an awesome job, you and the team. Whew, man, that was good worship. And you notice what we were singing? We were just singing the word. The word. The promises in the word. What he's done for us. What he's doing for us. You know, that one part where we sang, your love never leaves me. Why? His word is exactly the same. Never lets us go. Never. His word will never let us down. Amen. So Steve sent me a text this morning to say thanks that he's praying for me, and then just to say I must please send his love and his greeting to the church. So, Steve, I'm sending your love and your greetings to the church. Turn with me, please, in your Bible to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. We're going to read about the last quarter of 2014. The Lord began to deal with me on some things. And this is the message that I'm going to be sharing with you today, started back at the last quarter of 2014. Now, here's the thing. When the Lord spoke to me at that time, he called me son. He said, son, I want you to hear this. And he began to remind me of things about his word. And the importance of his word in my life. The importance of the word of God in my circumstances and situations that I would face. And so I had a good time with the Lord, and I made all kinds of deals that I'm going to start doing this now at 5 o'clock. And okay, it wouldn't always work at 5, so definitely from 9 o'clock, no TV. No business work, just the pure the word and that. And then in January, the Lord dealt with me again and he said, Gary, not son this time, Gary. Now, as it is in our household, when my wife says, Gary, then I know things aren't too right. I've missed up somewhere along the line. I've got to sort things out. If it's babe, it's fine. Son is good. But Gary is not a good time to hear that. So I was really set up and I began to listen to the Lord. So he began to deal with me on his word and the importance of his word in our lives. And over the last few weeks, beginning of this year, the word that's been coming across, everyone that's been sharing, is on faith, on believing God. And most times in our services on Sundays, we are reminded of the circumstances and the situations that we are facing as individuals. Now, I got to a place at the beginning of this year that I came to this place where that was it. I'm tired of just getting by on a daily basis. I'm tired of only feeling healthy and well sometimes during the month. I want to enjoy health and life and blessing every day. And that doesn't mean that the challenges will not come. No, challenges will come. When you put yourself out there, it's a guarantee. Challenges will come. But, we have the Word of God that will face and collide with whatever challenge comes our way. And let me tell you, there isn't a challenge that can come our way, that when it collides with the Word of God, it won't dissipate. It won't disappear. Because there is nothing that can withstand the Word of God. Nothing. The Bible says that all things, everything, is possible to you if you believe. To me, if I believe. So tonight, or this morning, we're going to talk on what we believe. We're going to talk a little bit about this word. So let's read Romans chapter 10, verse 17. We've got a bunch of scriptures we'll go through today. It says, so then, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. So the title of the message this morning is In Consistency Lies the Power. In consistency lies the power. In being consistent, in being hitting the nail on the head over and over and over and over and over and over again. So consistently hitting the nail on the head with aggression. You know, you go and see a carpenter. Yeah, like that. You go and see a carpenter. You have a block of wood. That's all planned, by the way. And you see a carpenter with a block of wood and a nail and a hammer. And if he just gently taps this thing, he's going to get nowhere. Particularly if the wood is really hard. He's going to get absolutely nowhere. And so often in our lives as Christians, that's how we behave. We have no aggression. We are passive. And we allow the winds and the waves to take us where they choose. However, God has put us in charge of our destiny. He's put us in charge of ourselves. He didn't say, let the wind and the waves move you around. He said, you choose life. You choose life. You choose life. I've already chosen life for you. I gave Jesus for you. Now you choose life. And so often we remain passive. We allow whatever comes, come. Let it come. And you can turn that slightly down. And as it comes, we take it. And then we moan. Oh, my throat. It's killing me again. 2 months ago, same thing. I'm off to the doctor. Wear the Strepsils, Advil CS. Sign your tabs. And the first thing we do is we grab what we believe. Let me say this to you. What you believe, what I believe, is your reality. Let me say it again. What you believe, what I believe, is your reality. The pattern of belief that we have needs to start changing if we want to become the God people that He had designed us to be. What I see, what I feel, influences what I believe. And that becomes my reality. So sometimes we at home have a discussion, and my wife is very real on reality. But, babe, I understand, but can you see? And we are all like that in life. That becomes your reality. Let's ask ourselves, what do we believe? What do you believe? Do you believe that God is your healer? Do you believe that He is your provider? Do you believe that He's given you favor with whoever you come into contact with? The Bible says He's given you favor. As His children, we have favor. As a young guy growing up at 13 years old, I started to confess that over my life. And I do every single day. And you know what? Every single day, I enjoy the favor of God. And I'm not just saying the favor. I'm saying the favor that I'm able to knock on a door and say, good day, I want an appointment with you. I want to discuss a business matter. And the door's made open. I've gone into situations now on Friday that is impossible. You don't get to those people on a first-time call. But they cannot say no when the favor of God is upon you. It's impossible. It's impossible to say no when the favor of God is upon you. It's impossible to enjoy the healing power of God in your life when He says healing is yours if you believe, if you take a hold. What do you believe this morning? What do you believe? Prayer is one of the things, and hear me when I say this. Sometimes it's a cop-out. I want to say this to you. Prayer is sometimes a cop-out for us. We're not feeling well. James, would you just pray for me, please? Yeah, I just got to... Yeah. And you leave James, and it's still there. Steve, hands on my head, brother. This, not too good. Janet, quick word, please. Not feeling too good, just pray for me. And we run off the prayer, 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 off the prayer. Prayer is simply the opportunity we have to be able to state our desires to our Father. That's what prayer is. The Bible says in Matthew that you can have whatever you ask in prayer if you believe. Matthew 21, I bring it to you now. The Bible says you can have those things you desire when you stand and pray, believe. But there's some other things we need to understand about that. We can't afford to use prayer as a cop-out, because prayer is my communication with my Father. But my confession and my believing and my aggression with the Word of God in my heart and in my mouth will bring about the change that I need in my life. Now I want to say to you, young people, a lot of them are away on holiday. Young people, start now. Don't wait until you get to the place where you've got bonds and bills to pay to start seeing God as your provider. Forget about mom and dad being your provider now. See God as your provider now. Because if you don't see him as your provider now, and you see mom and dad as your provider, when you're 45 years old and you've got some hard times coming, mom and dad again become your provider. And not your father. Heavenly Father, that is. Start now. Don't wait. Let me say this, never too late. It's never too late. But don't wait until you get to the place where you really need God to move in. Prepare now. Start stocking up on faith now. Start building up on that now. Piling it in you now. Start now. Middle-aged and older. Never stop. Do not stop. Now, the reason the Lord spoke with me in 2014 and now, because I got lazy. And I stopped becoming aggressive with the word. I stopped applying the word to every circumstance and situation I was facing. I would pray. Hallelujah. And I'd swallow an Advil C at the same time. The reality is, there wasn't enough word in me at that time to conquer the challenge that I was facing. The word. The word needs to become the living word. And through hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the written word, it becomes living. And only the living word would destroy the situations and circumstances we face. Only the living word. This here is an iPad word. I'm able to make the text a bit larger, so I don't have to wear my glasses when I read. So I don't have to keep buying bigger and bigger Bibles. Okay? So you get a Bible in two formats, written pages, and an iPad Bible. I got an iPad Bible. Very easy to see. Now this thing here holds nothing, no power at all. Absolutely no power. In Ephesians 6:17 it says, the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Now if I had to take this and drive it into James's belly, he would have a good giggle. Because this is absolutely useless as a weapon. I put it down here. It does absolutely nothing. Is anybody's Bible going hot in their hands right now? Anybody feel something happening in that word that you got there? That's the Bible you got though, huh? Nothing. Nothing, nothing will happen with this word unless it comes out of this mouth. Nothing. It will affect no one. It will affect no circumstance. This, if it collides with a wave, it's finished. The electronics are gone. And if it was paper-backed, it's useless. But when he got in the boat and he said to the disciples, let's go to the other side. They got in the boat and they went. And on the way, we heard last week and the week before, the storm came up. Now, why wasn't Jesus awake? Because he knew what his mission was. I'm getting in the boat and I'm going to the other side. That's where he was going, the other side. If there was a storm raging when he had to go, he would have still gone. Because storms, the reality that was within him was, I'm about my Father's business and nothing is going to stop me. No one is going to stop me. So he would have still gone. But for the disciples and those that were with him, the lesson, wake up, we're going to drown. What was in them? We're going to drown. Jesus spoke the living word. He spoke the word. He is the word. He spoke the word out, and the storms behaved immediately. Instantly, bang, noble storm. You and I have the exact same power with us if we get this inside. We get this word inside of us. We get this on the inside of us. And we fill ourselves with it because we hear it. And 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 what does it do? It begins to build up faith. So that when this, whatever the storm might be, comes, my reality is what I believe. My reality is I'm going to the other side. I was expecting storms. I was expecting debt. I was expecting the challenges of poverty. I was expecting those things. That's why I stocked up on the word in me. So here's the thing. On Sundays, we get together. We have great worship. And we have prayer. And so often, we are needing to pray for us, for one another, for each of us, for the same things. Let's take the word. Let's take this written word and allow it to become a living word within us. Because when it's living, the Bible says it's quicker and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's quicker and sharper than any two-edged sword. How's this? A sword is for attack. Nobody gets blessed when a sword is driven through their belly. There's no blessing in a sword if you're on the other end of it. The armor of God, everything is for defense. That's for attack. Can I make this comment? The word of God, this written word, that Bible that you have on your lap, that is yours and my inheritance. That's our inheritance there. You want to get to where God wants you to be? Use your inheritance. How stupid is it to be left a million rand in an estate as an inheritance and you never make use of it and you die poor. You die beaten. You die sickly. How stupid have we been? It's about time that you and I, and this is what he's dealing with me on, it's about time that we open our inheritance. Start making use. Start spending our inheritance. So that we get away from living day by day, month by month, year by year. So that we have no need. Steve may say, guys, we just need to build a crèche for, and there's a fight for us to offload the blessing. Let me say, that is a reality if we believe. If we believe. How do I get to change my belief? Well, the Word of God says that nothing is impossible for me and you if you believe. Therefore, it's critical for me to get my believing in the place that it needs to be, because I want to be able to do the impossible. Yeah, come on, surely. How many of us want to do the impossible? Now, we think of the impossible as walking on water. That's not impossible. People now without the Word that can seem to be able to do that. We think raising the dead, that's a big one. It's nothing. It's been done before. Plenty of times. By people we don't even know. Who've never ever told anybody about it either. That's not the impossible. Think about it. What is an impossible thing in your mind? Where are you living? What challenges are you going through right now? Can you see the end? Or do you see the end but the next one coming? That's an impossibility to be in. That's an impossible situation to be in. We can change that situation. We can change what we believe by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. Bruce Wilkinson wrote an excellent book on the Jabez Prayer. Start there. Start there. You know what's going to happen? As you start going through the Scriptures, as you start pulling out Scriptures pertaining to life. Look at your life. What are you involved in business-wise? What are you involved in your retirement estate? What are you involved in? Pull those scriptures out, the Word. Begin to speak those things over your life. So as a young guy growing up, I wanted wealth. I wanted to touch the world. I wanted to have influence. That's what I wanted. And I knew to get that, I needed to have favor. And that's what I majored on for myself. But that's for me. Where are you going? What is your destiny? What are the plans and the purposes that He has for you? Go find those scriptures. Bring them in. Some of us here are involved in big deals. Don't be so naive to think you could pull it off on your own strength. You need His favor. You may go and ask for 100, but God's thinking the whole lot. And we cut ourselves short so often. We ask for that, and He's thinking, but I've given you an inheritance to take it all. But we ask for that. I think maybe sometimes Father and Jesus have a little bit of discussion in heaven, a bit of a heated one, and He says, Jesus, you didn't get the message across, my son. Yeah? I want them to ask for everything. Jesus says, gosh, I'm going to have to send preachers. That's why preachers bless their feet, because they've got to walk so far. Because the Bible says, blessed are the feet of those who bring the good news. This is good news. But let me say this. This is not to tickle our ears. Sunday nights should be a top, top priority on our agenda. Because that's pure, pure, pure teaching word being blown at you. It's going to infuse your spirit. Going to change your belief, which will change your reality. So look at your reality and say, do I want to change it? Have I had enough of what I'm dealing with? I've had enough of what I've been dealing with. I've had enough. No more. I don't want to sit in this boat anymore. I want to walk on the water now. Because a boat can only go that direction or that direction. But I might want to change and go there in an instant. I want to walk on that water with him while he's holding my hand if he needs to. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Let's look at that quickly. I'll wrap up now. I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly. How's the slam on the man? Himself more highly. I've met a lot of women who think very highly of themselves as well. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt each one a measure of faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. Why does faith please God? Why does faith please God? I thought about that. Why does faith please you, Lord? He didn't say, and love will please me. And joy will please me. And giving your money to this person will please me. He didn't say that. He said, faith pleases me. And when he puts them all together, the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit, he says, love is the most important, or is the highest. But he doesn't say love will please him. He says faith will please me. Why does he say faith will please me? He doesn't punish you if you don't have faith. He doesn't cut you off from his promises if you don't have faith. He doesn't send you to hell if you don't have faith. Why does faith please God? Two thoughts I have. Jesus died to reconcile me and you to the Father. Point one. Point two. At the time of his death and his resurrection, he took away those keys of death and the grave. And he gave us back dominion. He gave us back the right to rule in this life. Not when you get to heaven, now. He gave that back to us. And it takes faith to unlock those keys. So he's saying, my son never died in vain. My kids go to heaven, but they also get to enjoy their lives on this earth using my word. That's why faith pleases him, because he knows he hasn't wasted, you haven't wasted your inheritance. Which father on earth would be happy to see their child waste the inheritance? I think I'd beat my children. If you are living in poverty and you've inherited this R1 million, sort out your poverty. Don't continue living in your poverty and keep coming to me and asking me to give you some bread. Take a hold, that's your prayer. Take a hold of your inheritance and use it wisely. Use it. It's for you. It's for me. That's what this is for. But it's stone dead unless it gets into me, a living being. There's nothing there, nothing powerful in that word, unless it gets into me, a redeemed creature of God. Then it becomes powerful. It becomes living. And when it collides with whatever I ever will face, it will obliterate whatever I face. It will destroy it. Why? Because that's where the power of God lies. The power of God lies in these written scriptures, but it becomes alive and living and a powerful force when it's living in me. And I speak it out. I address what I need to address to change my reality. You can change your reality by what you believe. Last scripture, Mark 11, 22. Give me a few more moments. It's called the Changing the Landscape Scripture. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Nobody else, not yourself, not your government, not your parents, not your kids, not your pastor. Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says, it shall be done. He will have whatever he says. It mentions the word believe once, and it mentions the word said, says, spoken to three times. Our confession will change what we believe. Your confession will change what you believe. Now hear this. You might have been plowing the fields as a younger person years ago and vibrantly active for God, shundying the earth, changing the world. And then you went a bit cold. Not backslidden, just a bit cold. It's a bit harder to get the fires restarted. And that's so often where we go wrong, where we just give up and we allow the waves and the wind to move us around at that time. Your confession will show what's in you, and what is in you is what you believe, and what you believe is your reality. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Last point. Believing is very easy. Believing is very easy when the hard work is done. When that word is in you, we struggle with, I think I believe. Hope, I believe. When that word is in you, it is easy to believe, because this word is only faith. It's pure, unmixed, unwatered down faith. And when I get that in me, it becomes easy to believe, because I've done the hard work. The hard work, and let me say this to you, It is tough. It is hard. To every day bring the word before yourself. Quote the word. Believing that what you're saying is having effect. And everything going by is saying it's not doing anything. It's hard work to keep going. But if you keep going, you'll get to the other side. Don't be lazy. So we're going to just do a song now that has been impacted my life. Don't be lazy. Be consistent in your confession of the written word. Because this will cause the word to become a living word. In your hands and your mouth, and you will change your situation. Listen to this song as if God was singing it to you. And then we're going to have a quick prayer. Try to please me. You never let me down before. Now don't imagine you're too familiar. I don't see. I wouldn't leave you in time.